This is SB Nation Radio. Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we focus on the greatest professional fishermen in the world, the men who make up the Bassmaster Elite Series, and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the Bass Pro Shop Open Series, and then the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops. Now, the best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/Bass Radio or on Twitter at Bass_Nation and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just go to Bassmaster.com, hit the home button, and click on Bassmaster Radio. The Elite Series is in a much-deserved break before heading to the St. Lawrence River and Lake Champlain over back-to-back weeks at the end of July. But as always, there's plenty going on with the Bass Pro Shops Central Open on the Sabine River in Texas this weekend and the Academy Sports and Outdoors Bass Nation Eastern Regional presented by Magellan on the Upper Chesapeake in Maryland. And then there's the High School National Championships coming up next week on Kentucky Lake. I fished an event on Kentucky Lake last weekend, and as usual, there's always some team out there bagging about 28 pounds. I found the fish to be transitional, and although there was a tremendous current, finding the right ledge with the fish ready to put the feed bag on, it was still a little bit tough. More on that in a bit. Now, it's Father's Day weekend, and for those of us fortunate to have great families and an opportunity to enjoy the great outdoors, it may seem like every day is Father's Day. But on June 18th, we honor our dads. So we thought this would be a great time to do a Father's Day special edition of Bassmaster Radio. We'll tell some stories. We'll hear a few from Mark Zona, who's been known to tell a story or three, and from 2008 Bassmaster Classic winner Elton Jones, who was joined by his son, Elton Jr., at this year's Bassmaster Classic, becoming just the fifth father and son team to compete in the Super Bowl of bass fishing. The first duo to do this was Bill and Greg Ward, and then, of course, Guido and Dion Hibden, the great Denny Brower and his son Chad, and then Wu and Chris Daves have all done it, fishing the classic father and son style. How great is that? All right, coming up next, we'll be joined by Scott Morris to get things started right here on Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. Enter now for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra SR5 double cab 4x4 in the ultimate Toyota Tundra giveaway. Grand prize includes a genuine Toyota accessories package valued at up to $2,500 and additional accessories from B&W trailer hitches, Covercraft, Volant, and Yakima, plus a $4,000 installation allowance. A total grand prize value of close to $44,500. In addition, five runners-up will receive a $200 gift card from Advance Auto Parts. Visit Bassmaster.com/Toyota Tundra giveaway to enter daily until September 15th, 2017, and for official rule.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament, hosted by Tommy Sanders, Mark Zona, and former Bassmaster Classic champion Davey Height. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer, plus special guest appearances from elite pros. Streaming on Bassmaster.com, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m., and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time, and simulcast on ESPN3.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over half a million outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to our special Father's Day edition of Bassmaster Radio here on the SB Nation Radio Network. Joining me now as he does just about each and every week. My partner in crime, Scott Morse. We fished a tournament together, by the way, on Kentucky Lake, as I talked about, and we're going to kind of preview a little bit for the high school national championship. Will be on Kentucky Lake next weekend, so we'll preview that a little bit. And but we'll also talk a little bit about our dads and what it is meant to be not only a son but a father, as well as we celebrate Father's Day, and families are obviously so important to us in the outdoors world. Scott, welcome to the show. How are you?
Tom, I'm great. Happy Father's Day, buddy.
Yeah, man, to you too. And, you know, you've spent a lot of time, obviously, fishing with your dad. My father, man, I remember fishing with my dad, you know, years and years ago to get things started when I was a little kid, 6, 7 years old. My earliest memories, Irondequoit Bay off of Lake Ontario, fishing for largemouth bass and then going out into the lake to fish for coho salmon and brown trout and things like that. And, you know, it's just I remember that from the very beginning, and I guess I'll never forget it as well. And I don't know when the last time I'm going to be able to go fishing with my dad is, but I know one thing. I'll be fishing with him in about a month on Gunnersville, and you know, it's precious time. But talk about it from your standpoint and how important your father was to your development as a fisherman.
Oh, I mean, it was everything. I was blessed to have and still have a great father. You know, I recall several times when I was little, Tom, you know, I would be crying and throwing a fit, and he would be going fishing because I had to go to school.
Yeah.
The important thing is he exposed me to the sport. He did it in the right way. And, you know, I don't know if it's built into your DNA, but once you catch that big fish or once you catch your first fish when you're really young, it's just something that keeps going and going and building and building. So the foundation of casting and, you know, basic baits and things like that were, you know, father. And then of course I fish with several, you know, people and some of the guys that I fish with are a lot older and, you know, of course they were fathers too, but the important thing, you know, is to find you a person who will take you in and who's not going to baby you and will help you learn how to fish.
Yeah.
And then you pass that on, whether it be taking a father and son fishing that don't have a boat, or maybe mentoring a father to help a son. So, there's all kinds of good things that come out of it.
My memories are of my dad getting me a Zepco 33. You know, reel. That was my first reel, was a Zepco 33, like so many others. The old push button deal that has probably about 4 pound, maybe 2 pound test line in there. I don't know. They haven't had small line in there. And then he always had the Mitchell spinning reel. And I always like, you know, someday when I grow up, I want to have a Mitchell spinning reel like my dad. And, you know, bait casting reels. Now, this is back in the late 60s and into the 70s. You know, bait casting reels and things like that weren't nearly as prominent as they are today. And the other thing was, is that my dad always, it was either the MEPS inline spinnerbait. And let me tell you something, that MEPS inline spinner caught a lot of fish back in the day. Or it was the little Cleo. I don't know what it was about this little Cleo spoon. He just loved this little Cleo spoon, and we would throw that. But, you know, we spent a lot of time bait fishing, too, back then. You know, it was a lot of live bait fishing type stuff. And, you know, so it was a different deal. When I became a competitive bass fisherman, it was a little bit of a different animal than what it was, you know, the type of fishing that I learned with my dad.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I could go down the, you know, we could talk about Zepco 33s. I mean, mine was Zepco 33, and it was a gay blade, and then a battery small fry shad,
mm-hmm.
and then we used what we call the sassy shad, which they call now swim baits, way back in the early 80s. It's just so important. But I'll tell you another thing that was really important in my development was we didn't always go bass fishing. You know, we went brim fishing, we went crappie fishing. And you know, that foundation of learning how to catch other fish helps you be a better bass fisherman because it keeps you in the game.
Yeah.
It keeps you going. And you learn how to throw that little tap crappie fishing, and you apply, you know, fishing a worm or fishing a jig, you know exactly what that feels like.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, and come in from the north, as I did, I remember going with my dad to the Adirondacks and getting a guide, and we would troll. We did a lot of trolling for trout in the Adirondacks and that type of stuff. And he even trolled for bass, back then. We trolled for smallmouth bass and things like that. And it was just a different kind of fishing. And they wouldn't even stop the boat. It'd be like you get hooked up and you just keep coming. You just reel them in. You just reel them in and you keep on going. So, you do learn a lot of different techniques, but I specifically remember being about 12 or 13 years old, being in Florida where my grandparents lived, and we spent a lot of time in Florida. My parents eventually moved down there when I was a teenager, and going out, he got a guide, and we went on the Kissimmee chain, and we fished with a guy by the name of Virgil Ward. This is how you remember this stuff. I remember like it was yesterday. I was 12 or 13 years old, and the specific instruction was we were going to learn how to worm fish. My father didn't know, and I didn't know, but we were going to learn how to fish with those plastic worms. And I'll never forget two things. Virgil Ward saying, it doesn't matter what color worm you use as long as it's grape. He was purple. As long as it's purple, it doesn't matter what color you use. And then the way which he was able to cast that thing up by those cattails, reeds, buggy whips, whatever you want to call them, and throw them up in there. And the first time I threw that thing in there and felt that pickup that was different, that little thump, thump, that little tap tap, and taking up the slack and as they used to say back then, crossing his eyes, coming back with the big hook set. And I remember that day with my father, with Virgil Ward, fishing and learning how to fish a plastic worm, literally like it was 2 weeks ago. And I got to tell you now, it was 40 years, 43, 44 years ago.
Yeah, it's incredible how you can remember very specific things about your fishing trip. And, you like me, you forget to pick up your clothes in the living room or whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Or take the trash out. But man, I remember that stump 25 years ago that I missed that big fish on. It's incredible. It's incredible. And that's just the DNA built into you. And that's what fishing is all about, is those memories. And with your family member, and whether it be your dad or whomever, it's all worth it.
Scott Morris with us. All right, Scott, before I let you go, you and I fished a tournament on Kentucky Lake. High school national championship will be out there next week. I think it'll be different. My sense was that we had fish that were transitional. We had great current because the water had been high. They're dumping a lot of water. And even though there was great current, it wasn't like the fish were stacked up on all of the ledges, or at least there were feeding fish on all of the ledges. I got a feeling that maybe in a couple of weeks that when these kids get out there, they may be able to find some concentrations a little bit better, or maybe we just weren't very good. I'm not sure.
Well, there's really four sections of Kentucky Lake. The lower end, then you kind of have the mid-lower end, then you have the mid-section, then you have the mid-upper section. We were fishing the mid-section of the lake, and the bite was just not there like it was a river, like in the New Johnsonville area. And the reason why is a couple reasons. You said it. They were pulling a lot of water, but the water was a foot above summer pool. So you had fishes that were on the islands in the bushes because the water was up, and you had current rolling to those islands, and then you had fish up on the bars anywhere from 5 to 10 foot of water, just gorging. And we hit it in a tough situation where you had back-to-back-to-back-to-back huge tournaments,
right,
on that lake. And the fish get affected. Now they're dropping the water. You're going to have, the current's going to slow down a little bit, but you're going to still have major current. So, yeah, I think because of the way they're dropping the water, Tom, and because of the less pressure on the fish, you're going to see a more consistent weight. But I think you're going to see more consistent weights all throughout the lake instead of having to go into one section of the lake to really catch the fish.
Right. Well, it's a great place to do it. This is the fourth time they've done the national championship there at Kentucky Lake and, of course, out of Paris Landing, and it's just a wonderful venue for it. Scott Morris has been our guest. Scott, I appreciate you as always, man. Have a great Father's Day.
All right. Well, I hope you get that rod you've been looking for, buddy.
Well,
I'll see you, man.
That could happen, man. Appreciate you. All right, coming up next, speaking of dads, Alton Jones will join us, Bassmaster Classic champion in 2008. He is up right after this on Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over 500,000 outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament, hosted by Tommy Sanders, Mark Zona, and former Bassmaster Classic champion Davey Height. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer, plus special guest appearances from Elite Pros. Streaming on Bassmaster.com, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m., and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time, and simulcast on ESPN3.
Enter now for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra SR5 double cab 4x4 in the Ultimate Toyota Tundra Giveaway. Grand prize includes a genuine Toyota accessories package valued at up to $2,500 and additional accessories from B&W trailer hitches, Covercraft, Volant, and Yakima, plus a $4,000 installation allowance. A total grand prize value of close to $44,500. In addition, five runners-up will receive a $200 gift card from Advance Auto Parts. Visit Bassmaster.com/Toyota Tundra Giveaway to enter daily until September 15th, 2017, and for official
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back for this special Father's Day edition of Bassmaster Radio. You know, with bass fishing or any kind of fishing or outdoors hunting, in so many cases, it's fathers and sons that get to share it. And what a special deal this past Bassmaster Classic is. Elton Jones got to share it with his son, Elton Jones Jr. They became the fifth father-son duo to fish in the Classic. Elton Jones, a 2008 Classic champion. So we talked to the dad instead of the son. He joins us now here on Bassmaster Radio. Alton, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Tom. Thanks a lot. It's great to be here and get to talk about Father's Day. And, you know, fishing is such a great family sport. There's nothing that's brought my son and I, and even my daughters and I, closer together than fishing. So I think it's really appropriate on Father's Day weekend.
Was it a difficult thing with you doing, you know, traveling and fishing tournaments and so on? Was it a difficult thing being so caught up in your own career to be able to have and make that time to share it with your son?
Well, no, it really wasn't. When you're a dad, your kids come first. They come before career. They come before anything else that you do in life. And since fishing was not only my career, it was my passion. It's something that I wanted to share with him. And, you know, from a very early age, it was apparent that he had the same passion. So it was a great way for he and I to spend time together and, just develop a close relationship. You know, bass boats and deer blinds are both good for that.
I hear you. You know, I have four sons myself. I also have five daughters, and my daughters came before my sons. So it was one of these deals where, yeah, that's crazy. We didn't, my wife and I weren't sure what was causing that. We finally straightened that out. But my daughters, I actually spent more time early on fishing with my daughters. And it is something that, you know, it only takes once or twice, doesn't it, to take a kid fishing and for them to get their lines stretched, for them to, you know, be into it and just have that memory forever.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think all kids are naturally drawn to it and drawn to the outdoors. And, yeah, I get asked by parents a lot of times that want to take their kids fishing but never had, you know, how do I do this? How do I share this time? And, you know, the best answer I can give is really there's no wrong way to take your kids fishing. You know, you don't have to have a $70,000 bass boat. You don't have to have a boat at all. If you've got water near your house and a fishing rod of any kind, you can do it. And, it's as simple as tying a hook or a lure on and either some bait or artificials and put it in the water, and you learn from doing that. You don't have to be an expert, you'll figure out pretty quick how to make sure that there's some success and some fish in there too. I'll give one quick tip. If you're taking young kids fishing, use really small hooks and really small pieces of bait and really light weights. And they're going to catch something. They're going to catch a perch. They're going to get excited about fishing.
Yeah, that's the and that's the key, is to make sure that, because they don't care whether it's a rock bass or a bluegill or whatever it is. They don't care, especially the younger they are, and it's really neat to see the reaction to it and how It's such a thing of wonderment. You don't see that when they play a video game. You know, you don't see that when they're doing other things.
No, you don't.
But you, boy, you can certainly see that out in the outdoors.
You know, and I tell you, one of the things that was really special to me about taking my sons and daughters both fishing was, I especially noticed during the high school years, you know, a lot of times we parents, when our kids are in high school, we're not very cool. Yeah. You know, it's just, yeah. we're not the cool part of their life that we were when they were little. But when we would be in the water together, it really bridged that generation gap, and Dad was cool again. And so you know, it's kind of an escape from some of the transitions that children go through as they begin to grow up and they begin to mature. And you know, it's an escape for them and for you, and it's a great way to bridge that gap. And you know, that proved really special for our family through those formative years.
I had my my second youngest son out, I guess it was maybe 3 years ago now. He was maybe 12, 13 years old, and he had caught fish, you know, live bait and those types of things. He had caught a couple of fish on a worm himself and so on. But I had him out on Okeechobee, and I was trying to kind of give him a set, and we got into a spot, and we were up against those reeds and whatnot, and I was telling him, kind of going to show him how to pitch a little bit. And I said, now we're going to take this worm. And it was first cast. I'm going to pitch this worm up there as tight as possible. Then I'm just going to shake it a couple of times. And sure enough, I caught about a 3-pounder on the first cast. And you want to talk about Dad being cool. I mean, it was like, are you kidding me, Dad? Really? I mean, that was like the coolest thing ever, you know? And so that's always neat where you can get a little dad swag by doing that.
Well, that is really cool.
Yeah, it's always a fun story for sure. Alton Jones with us. Lorena, Texas. Now, give us your background in terms of where you got your love of the outdoors.
Well, I got it from my grandfather. You know, you almost always find in a child's life who takes up fishing, there's almost always an adult that ignites that spark. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was my granddad, who I guess I got all my vices from him. And we would spend almost every weekend down in East Texas fishing together. Started out with bluegill and crappie. And, you know, he made me in the backyard. He made me be able to sit in my backyard and cast a practice plug across the fence before he would take me out bass fishing. And that was a great motivation for me. I remember standing out there for hours until once I could cast that thing consistently across the fence, I knew I was going to get to go fish for some real fish. And that was kind of the start of it for me.
So now Alton Jones Jr. joins you on the tour. You guys mm-hmm. are remarkably close in the AOI standings. You know, you're 45th right now. He's sitting at about 57th or so. He's not that far behind you. And I think sometimes right. when fathers and sons, they have the same thing in common. They both want the son to win, right? I mean, he's got to be much more competitive towards you than you are to him. I'm sure you would love to see him, you know, make another classic or, you know, win one of these tournaments.
I would love nothing more. You know, I have had a great career fishing. And so there's a little bit less on the line for me, whereas right now he's got to have success in order to prove himself and to be able to continue on tour. So I really do want to see him succeed. You know, now if it ever came down to it where we were both in contention for a victory, I promise you both of us, neither of us would be rooting for the other. We would both be trying to win that tournament. But generally overall, we've approached every event as trying to work together, not as far as here's where you need to fish, Dad or son or whatever. It's more like, here's the baits I had success with today. Here's the depth ranges I found helpful. You know, the two heads are better than one theory, and it certainly is true.
And there's so much more to the professional game than just catching fish. Obviously, there's the sponsorship, and there's dealing with the you know, the fans. I mean, there's one great thing about you know, professional bass fishing is you guys are so accessible, and you're at the ICAST, and you're at the shows at the various tournaments, and so on. Talk about sharing that information with him, because we know he's running a Skeeter. It's got a Yamaha on the back. The boats are wrapped very similar. So, you know, I mean, that's a great opportunity to kind of to give him that kind of a landing. Now all he's got to do is go out and catch the fish.
Yeah, that's right. You know, one piece of advice I gave him, especially on the business and sponsor end of it, is make sure that whoever you're going to be sponsored by, make sure it's a product you believe in, because you know, you're never going to be good at promoting something that you don't 100% believe in and use yourself. And you know, I think that's good solid advice. We're you know, we actually share a few sponsors, like a new one this year is Miracle Ear mm-hmm. Hearing aids, and one of the things that we're really promoting right now is that fishermen, we need to be wearing hearing protection when we're running our boats at high speed. because we're exposed to really loud wind noises, and it's led to some hearing loss in me. And so, I'm happy to see little Alton now wearing his hearing protection. So hopefully he can avoid some of that hearing loss as he gets older.
You know, I never thought of that. You and I are about the same age, and I've spent 20 years with these headphones on doing radio and TV, and you have that constant, noise in your ears. And my father was a contractor, so I grew up around heavy equipment. You know, when I was a kid, we were always around heavy equipment and so on, and now I deal with that same issue. My kids think my hearing loss is a lot worse than I think it is, but that deal with Miracle Ear.
It's just selective, right,
yeah,
Tom?
Very, very selective is what it is. What's the best ear protection? What kind of ear protection do you use? When you're running?
Well, let me say first of all, anything is better than nothing. Even if you go buy the little foam roll-ups, but I actually am using some custom fitted. It's industrial hearing protection made by Miracle Ear. So they actually made a mold of my ear, and I have some that hang on a lanyard and they fit perfectly in my ear canal. And I can pop them in. It takes about a second and a half for me to put them in. And, if I'm idling across the cove, of course, I don't put them in. But when I'm making that 20 or 30 or 100 mile run to the next spot, that's when I'm using them. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten to my first spot miles away, first thing in the morning, and I would shut my boat down, and my ears would ring for an hour. And that's a sign that you're doing some damage to your ears, and it's probably a good idea to get checked out.
Now, is Junior following this advice? Because he'll be dealing with this 30 years from now if he doesn't.
That's right. And, that's my hope is that, well, he is following it. And my hope is that we can just educate some other young people just to take some simple steps now to protect your hearing so that you don't have to do this. We talked about how fishing bridges a generation gap, but good hearing also bridges that generation gap by allowing those communication lines to stay open between fathers and sons, husbands and wives, and all of your family.
All right, finally, speaking of the generation gap, before I let you go, I mean, what we're seeing on tour is amazing. These young guys under 25, 26 years old, including your son, fishing very well, but we've got Jordan Lee winning and Jacob Wheeler winning and Dustin Connell winning, and it's amazing how good these young guys are this fast.
It is. They're great, and, that's one of the great things about the Elite Series more than any other tour than it's ever been out there is you've got to qualify, and it's not a pushover qualification. You've got to be the best of the best in those qualifying circuits to even get there. So if you've even made the Elite, you've proved you can dominate. And these new guys are a force to be reckoned with. They've got a lot of good tools to learn from, from everything from, what you're doing, Bassmaster Radio. You're helping young fishermen become better at what they do at an earlier age. Look at the high school and college fishing levels now, and you're seeing kids become experts at bass fishing at a much, much younger age.
Yeah, it's been great, and I've had an opportunity to be involved in some of those high school tournaments and see, and MC some of that stuff and see these young guys, and they really know what they're doing. It's something. Elton Jones has been our guest. Elton, happy Father's Day, and we appreciate
you
so much, and good luck in the second half of the season up north.
All right. God bless you and all your viewers. I appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you. That's Elton Jones. All right. When we come back, Mark Zona joins us next. We'll talk about fathers and sons with the Z-Man right after this. You're listening to Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. Enter now for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra SR5 double cab 4x4 in the ultimate Toyota Tundra giveaway. Grand prize includes a genuine Toyota accessories package valued at up to $2,500 and additional accessories from B&W trailer hitches, Covercraft, Volant, and Yakima, plus a $4,000 installation allowance. A total grand prize value of close to $44,500. In addition, five runners-up will receive a $200 gift card from Advance Auto Parts. Visit Bassmaster.com/Toyota Tundra giveaway to enter daily until September 15th, 2017, and for official rule. Are you looking for a great weekend tournament fishing experience? Well, visit AmericanBassAnglers.com for the latest on the nation's number one grassroots fishing tours. The ABA features several circuits, including the American Fishing Tour, one-day events close to home. The ABA also has the Open Series with 16 divisions around the country and a $5,000 guaranteed first place. For team tournaments, check out the 100% Plus Team Tour and even the Couples Tour. All events lead to the Ray Scott Championships as well. Learn more at AmericanBassAnglers.com.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham, and of course, it's our Father's Day special. Many of you listening to this on Saturday, maybe Friday night, but of course, Father's Day on Sunday. Many of you might be out fishing or spending some time with your dad, and I got to be totally honest with you, as we decided to put this one together, I stumbled across a Carhartt video featuring Mark Zona talking about his old man and his sons and what fishing meant to him. And it literally got the hair standing up a little bit on my arms, and I felt like, you know what, let me reach out to Z and see if I can get him to come on and talk about his experiences as not only a son but a dad on this Father's Day special, and he joins us now. Z, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Tom, as always, great to be back, and hey, I you know, probably the, I appreciate you bringing up the Carhartt video. They did not put it in there, but I blubbering fool crying in that interview. just because, you know, and this is just the way it is fishing has been part of my life because of my dad, and I've been able to, I think, pass that on in a big way to my twin boys. It's Father's Day is a special time at our house, and you know, the most definitely the this time of year, you know, you came from the north, is we make hay while, you know, when we got June, July, and August to go fishing. So it's a big time in the Zona family.
It always reminds me of when I think of Father's Day. Now I fish a big event on Lake Gunnersville every Father's Day weekend, and as many are listening to this, I'm on Gunnersville right now fishing this tournament, which is every year Father's Day weekend. It's a Friday Saturday thing, and it's sponsored by the Orthopedic Center in Alabama, and it's a wonderful event. In fact, a lot of the pros will come down and fish it. Mark Menendez, Timmy Horton, a lot of the other guys from the region will fish in this thing, as well as they take out coaches from around the region. It's a great deal. But back in the day, when I was in New York and when I was growing up and before I left the North, Father's Day weekend was opening day for bass season. And in New York back then, you may remember this, it was, you couldn't even catch them. I mean, you had to tell the warden, if you caught a bass in May and somebody came by you, and you'd have to say, no, I'm pike fishing over here. I can't stop a bass from hitting my lure. I'm pike fishing. That's how it was. I mean, we didn't bass fish until Father's Day weekend.
Exactly. You know, what's weird is that's hard for our Southern brothers to understand that a lot of us did not bass fish until the end of June. Heck, it was that way fishing half of St. Clair, where people kind of looked at you. But you know what? You know what's weird about it is, and I'm kind of in this situation right now, this Father's Day, is I had proposed to my wife the other day that, hey, maybe it's a good idea that I take the boys smallmouth fishing at Lake Huron for Father's Day. Now, Tom, you know this, and your listeners know this. When you get the look that maybe that was not the best idea on planet Earth that you've ever had, and I kind of looked at her, I said, maybe it'd be better if I took the boys to Lake Huron on Monday. And she said, you know, Mark, you're exactly right. Way to think that one through, bud. So yeah, that's what we're going to end up doing. We're going to have my kids just got out of school, and we're going to celebrate Father's Day at home the correct way per Karen Zona, and then we'll head up north smallmouth fishing for a few days.
Now tell me about the early beginnings of this thing, because first of all, old man Z looks like a really cool guy. I mean, I've seen pictures of you and your dad before. You're lucky. If you age like your old man ages, it's going to be good. He's got a little bit of that most interesting man in the world type look if he just grew out the rest of the beard. He's got the stash going. He's a good looking man. Talk about, you know, him taking you out there and how this whole thing started. Was he a fisherman? Did he just happen, you stumbled into this? We know you're from Chicago. Tell us the story.
You know what's strange is he was an old school, he was a troller. So strange to this day is we would go out together and we would troll miles and miles. Like, there was no, hey, we just caught one, why don't we turn around? We'd catch one, just keep going, man. Yeah.
Not even put it in neutral, right? Just not even put it in neutral. Just reel it in against the motor.
Keep going. And what's funny is I look back on those days now, and I'll talk to my kids about that. I'm like, oh, I said, Grandpa and I used to really catch them trolling through here. And my kids will look at me who fish, you know, they fish a bunch of tournaments. Now they're like, now what is this trolling thing you speak of? I really don't get to get out with my dad as much as I used to. You know, he fishes actually probably more with the with the boys than I do now. But it's so strange. Like I look back on those days of trolling and you know, he had to do one of the most distinct, like it is the most visual stories of my life, was he was painting the garage one day. And, you know, we lived in Chicago, but we had a real, real small little lake house in southern Michigan. And I was one of those kids, like every kid, you think the biggest bass live in the middle of the lake when you're a child.
Right.
And one day he was painting, and I said, come on, Dad, take me, you know, let's go. And he said, look, you need to learn how to fish shallow just so I can get some work done. And he took me out to the boat dock. I was so young, and he threw one of those old plow jockey worms. You remember, Tom,
yeah.
The old three-hooked worms.
Yeah, yeah. It's a walleye bait.
Next to it.
It's kind of a walleye bait,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And it had a little split shot on it, and he threw it next to a pontoon boat, and I watched the 10-inch bass swim out and eat the worm, and he caught it. And that bass might as well have been, in my eyes, 15 pounds, because he looked at me and he said, look, that fish swam out from that pontoon boat. Get your sneakers on and start wading, and there's 300 more pontoon boats to throw next to.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment, like, it opened up a whole new world to me that, number one, wow, you can catch them shallow. But I think it just got me off of his back from wanting to fish 10 hours a
day. Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's funny because my pop is all about the biggest fish. It doesn't matter, you know, what it is. And I grew up the same thing, trolling Lake Ontario in the Eslo Derby, the Empire State Lake Ontario Derby, and for brown trout and all that stuff, and going to the Adirondacks and trolling for trout. And you'd reel those things. The guy didn't even take it out of gear. We'd get a guide, and you'd reel it in against it. But on this past Saturday, I was fishing a tournament at Kentucky Lake, and I sent him a picture of a 4.5-pounder I caught. The same picture I sent you, actually. I sent him that picture, and my pops is now 78 years old, and he was fishing in the back bay by Sanibel Island, off of Captiva Island, right? And he shoots me back a picture of him with a 18-pound redfish that's like, you know, 28.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And, you know, and he just to kind of knock me down, you know, just to kind of say,
right.
what the heck is that? Here's my 18-pound red I just caught a half an hour ago while you were catching that 4.5-pound.
Like, sometimes you're not the big dog, Tom.
That's right.
You're not the big dog. Hey, let me give you one really quick. When we were, you know, coming from Chicago, this is no joke, is this time of year, you know, my dad was a pan fisherman, you know,
right.
A gob a night crawler on a hook and go out and catch a bunch of big bluegill. So we would go out growing up, you know, we would catch all these bluegill, and he would have a fish fry along the lake shore for everybody, you know, a bunch of Italians having the
right.
Fish fry. And I grew up, this is no joke, I grew up thinking a rock bass was a bluegill, because we would keep an embarrassing amount of, you know, goggle eye rock bass.
Right.
And we'd come in and he's like, Mark, look at the size of these bluegill we're catching. Tom, we never had a bluegill in the bunch. They were all grubby, wormed up rock bass.
Well, I remember catching them thinking we were catching bass, you know, and as a kid and think, well, how many bass did you catch? Well, I caught six, you know, here they are. No, those are rock bass. That isn't
exactly.
Really,
so I kind of grew up really confused on my species in southern Michigan.
At what point in time did you realize, because this happens and it's kind of interesting, because again, our stories are very similar in terms of the way our dads were in a kind of fishing that we did with them. At what point in time do you realize that you're a better fisherman than your father? You know what I mean? That your father, that your dad, you know what I mean? It's not, you're taking him fishing. You know, my dad asked me to take him, like, I'm a guide. You know, he's like, are you going to take me fishing? He's coming up to Gunnersville in July. Are you taking me fishing? You know, when did you realize, you know what, I think I'm a little better fisherman than dad.
But here's what's bizarre about it is all of our dads and all of your listeners' dads, they all had their own style of fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, every time I'd, you know, like when a tube bait came from out west or any, I would, you know, throw those through my teen years, and he would look at these things and he's like, that's the stupidest bait I've ever seen in my life. And you know what is funny now is I have a, you know, a barn where I keep all my stuff for shows, boats and tackle and blah, 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 is my dad has become the biggest customer coming to the barn for tackle. So it's really been, it's been humbling, just because we don't, as much as we try to fish, you know, with our fathers, just do it. And this is not something cliche, is man, just keep picking the phone. Even if dad, you know, your dad's got a ton to do or you got a ton to do, you just got to always make that call just because you don't know how many days you have. And those days are few and special.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the time that
don't make me cry on the call, Tom.
I'm just saying. I understand what you're saying. Now, do you let him use the good stuff? Because in my tackle barn, I got like the stuff over there. He's like, make sure you bring some rods and stuff, you know, to Gunnersville when we meet. And I got some special stuff for him because I'll go in his garage, you know, and I realize he just stacks his stuff in the corner, and he lives down there on the salt water, and everything's getting nasty, and he's got the old Play-Doh box.
Are we brothers? Are
like,
we brothers?
Like, what are you doing? Take care of your
stuff. I go to my dad's garage, and I look at his tackle and his rods and reels, and I'm like, what are you doing to your equipment?
That's right. He looks at my stuff, and he says, my God. He goes, you're acting like – I said, Dad, there's thousands of dollars of rods and reels and gear there. Of course everything is – I got the reels covered, and, you know, everything is kind of taken care of and whatnot. And he just doesn't understand it, but it was it's funny. All right, let's move from son to dad because people don't understand that aren't a father – how proud I got a picture that's 20 years old of my oldest son's first fish, you know, holding up a bass, looking at it, wanting to touch it and things like that. It still sits on the shelf here in the studio, and it's one of the proudest things I got. And how, as a dad, people can't understand how we don't even care what we do. It's just all about seeing that kid's face and wishing and praying that a fish will bite, because, you know, they don't have that patience when they're young. And now you have twin boys that are 18, 19 years old. But just talk about being the dad side of this deal.
Oh, it's been the best thing on planet Earth. Number one, this is going to sound horrible, but I don't have a lot of friends, so I literally had to have kids to have friends. Oh, that's terrible. Man, you know, the memories fishing, and you, to this day, what's interesting is I remember the very first tournament that I won. And look, tournaments are in our family, whether it's been covering the Elite Series or Zona Show stuff, tournaments and tournament fishing has always kind of been in our family. And to watch them together now go out on their own and lose tournaments, which is, you know, for me, it's mentally crushing being their dad, to turning around and winning tournaments. And just, I've always said this, Tom, is fishing and the outdoors is everything right in the world. And I remember one of my boys asking me this exact question within the last year. He's like, Dad, what do people do that don't fish or hunt? Like, what do they do? I said, I don't know, because I don't hang around those people. Gosh, to have shared a lot of my kids' fishing memories, you know, with them and watched them grow up to be fine anglers, to be really, really, really good anglers, and more than that, to be better men. I don't know. I said it in that Carhartt video. That's what life is, man.
Yeah.
That's what living the right life is to me.
We better break this off before both of us are blubbering. That would suck. All right, man. Well, happy Father's Day to you. I appreciate you taking the time to do this. We're looking forward to seeing you on the second half of the season on live. And Mark Zona has been our guest. Z, I appreciate you. You know that, man.
Tom, I have a lot of energy built up for the second half of the season. Trust me, I will come in with a lot of energy for you.
There you go. All right, Mark, appreciate it. Thank you. All right, we'll come back with more. We'll wrap it up right after this. You're listening to Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over half a million outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament, hosted by Tommy Sanders, Mark Zona, and former Bassmaster Classic champion Davey Height. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer, plus special guest appearances from Elite Pros. Streaming on Bassmaster.com, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m., and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time, and simulcast on ESPN3.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back. Final segment of Bassmaster Radio here on the SB Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham, and you know, I have so many fishing memories with my father, from the Back Bays and the Finger Lakes of upstate New York to deep sea fishing on charters for sailfish and king mackerel to my first time on Lake Okeechobee with a guide and my dad as a kid. Now, my father was always the curious type and still is, with tons of questions. Well, after being peppered by questions from my dad on gear and technique, our guide opens a rod locker and he has a 45 caliber pistol in the boat. So my dad asks, "Is that for gators or snakes?" And the old boy answers in a deep southern drawl, "That's for clients who ask too many questions." Nothing like my memories with dad. Congrats to Joshua Butts and Reed Connor of Wallace State Hanceville, who made the short run from Cullman, Alabama to Lay Lake and took the title at the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series Wildcard presented by Bass Pro Shops with a three-day total of 40 pounds, 11 ounces. Next up for them will be the 2017 Carhartt Bassmaster College National Championship presented by Bass Pro Shops. That will be at the Bemidji Chain of Lakes in Minnesota, August 10th through 12th. Also, 188 pros are going at it on the Sabine River in the Bass Pro Shops Central Open 2 as we speak. Some pretty good sticks there as well, including the legendary Rick Klun, Mike McClellan, Tommy Biffle, former classic champ Luke Clausen, and others in the field as well. We'll have results on that entire deal next week. Finally, I want to thank this week's guests. Mark Zona was in, Elton Jones was in, and you know, if you missed any of this week's show, remember, it's always just a click away at bassmaster.com/radio or at facebook.com/bassradio. And again, you know, call your dad or take your kids fishing, all right? Your daughters, your sons, a grandchild, a kid that maybe doesn't have an opportunity to go fishing, you know, do that. You can. It's the best way to ensure the future of our great sport and get these kids out away from the video games and get them out into the great outdoors. You'll thank me for it. Until next time, make sure you keep those lines tight and those nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.